This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
How about this one? The Toronto Blue Jays are not only not the Toronto Blue Jays, they're not even the Pittsburgh Blue Jays. I found that out this morning. It's opening day, and we have a nomadic team without a city.
Well, where are they going to play? What do you mean it's
no
not
one
the...
knows.
What do you
mean? Knows. They don't know. They shut down the Pittsburgh thing. David Sampson told me this on the local hour. I assume they were the Pittsburgh Blue Jays. Nope, that's done.
But wait a minute. Canada's team, the only remaining team in Canada, doesn't have any place to play because Canada won't allow American baseball teams to go into Canada.
They may be playing their entire season on the road this year and be the home team on the road. So, like, you could have a game at Fenway Park where the Blue Jays are the home team.
Love that.
Naturally, PNC Park actually never made sense considering COVID protocol, right? Why would you want another team sharing your equipment? I don't want another set of producers coming into this studio and talking into my microphone. It makes all the sense in the world. It also makes sense that they want some sort of base camp. They don't want to be living out of a suitcase going in and out of hotels because that's increased risk. They don't know what they're going to do with this team.
This doesn't make any sense, what you're telling me. Even during these times, you can. When is Toronto's first baseball game?
I think everyone's first baseball game outside a handful of teams is Friday.
Yeah. You want to know where they're playing? Well,
when you want to know where they're playing, too.
I want to know how this team is going to bounce around and where is its first home game going to be. Because
it's looking increasingly like Billy said, that their first home game is actually going to be a road game until they sort out where they can play, most likely Buffalo. But the Blue Jays also want major league facilities, and those major league facilities are occupied by other major league baseball teams that don't want to share their stuff.
Doesn't Buffalo have what is considered the biggest of the minor league programs, biggest stadium?
Because you are testing my baseball knowledge.
Well, no, right? Because
you really are.
I feel like Buffalo is a very proud minor league city, and I feel like Buffalo has a legitimate stadium. While it might not be a major league baseball stadium, I didn't think it was crappy podunk, you know, single A stadium.
You know more about the minors than you do the majors. That's amazing. The Jays play the Rays opening weekend here. So
the first thing they're doing is heading straight into the COVID.
To the trop. Yeah. I mean, that's where they're going.
I would love at some point today Dan's top five minor league baseball cities.
I've got the fanfare ready for you, Dan.
Buffalo's one, obviously.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Before we go down this path, and you'll have to wait for that for one segment because I'm not going to give it to you right now.
Oh, yes, because you could absolutely do it off the top of your head.
I'm going to tease it.
Great tease.
Yes, I'm going to. Coming up in about 10 minutes, my top five minor league cities. There's no minor league baseball this year, right? They canceled that. They had some controversy.
I know that there's independent baseball because Macon Bacon keeps saying, hey, let's have an event out here. Look, there are fans in the stands. This was 2 days ago. I don't want to go see the Macon Bacon right now. It's a little hot.
Stugatz, I would like for you to look up for me, please, at some point during this segment. Mm-hmm. Tell me how and why Buffalo is a proud minor league baseball city. Because the only reason I actually know this is because I went to a wedding in Buffalo, and that's a terrible sentence. I went to a wedding in Buffalo.
Purpose?
I know. I did.
Show it to my kid's bat mitzvah. It's an hour away.
How many people got put through tables?
All right. I went to, this is the best part. I went to a wedding in Buffalo, I don't know, about 9 months ago, and they're not married anymore. So,
wow.
But while I was...
Waste of a trip to Buffalo.
But why...
Man, this pandemic is testing marriages.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it?
That's a recent development, is it not?
You remember about 133 days ago, we were talking about what is this going to do to people. We discovered a few things about the pandemic, all right? There were a handful of things we discovered. One, way too much trash. Every home makes way too much trash.
Too much alcohol.
Too much drinking. Everyone is drinking more than they would normally drink. But we were also wondering, and I don't know if we have proof of this yet, whether relationships would get much stronger because you were stuffing 5 years of marriage into 5 months, and a lot of babies would be produced, or whether relationships would just start falling apart because this is in no way sane, and it is a very big test on monogamy.
About 133 days ago is a very specific about. Like, have you been tracking the days that this has been going on?
Well, we have not had sports for 133 days. And so that is why that number has stuck, because I believe that to be the greatest withdrawal anyone listening to this has ever had from sports.
We haven't had the traditional major sports.
We've had very, very little
in the way of sports. We've had soccer.
Very little in the way of sports. It's been 133 days since we got any of the big things back, and baseball is evidently returning. But one of the ways that you know that that baseball is back and that sports is back is because my email box has again filled with these Chuck Solitoro nonsense emails that just are not news in any way. I can't tell you how sad they've been over the last 133 days, because I don't believe there's been a sadder place in sports than the emails that Chuck Solitoro has been sending out. But I've just gotten a batch this morning, and it's just Sala torpedoes flying in every single direction, Stugatz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what it is basically hugely empty nothing. Mm-hmm. But it's better than the hugely empty nothing that we've had until now. So I get stuck in one of these situations. I know you love Chuck as much as I do.
Of course.
But this is excessive. Like, what he's doing in terms of firing off emails to everyone at the company, as no one is, no one's got sports to talk about. Everyone is making it's just ridiculous what we're doing on sports television. Worst time in ESPN history. It's just like, go on television and do something for 30 minutes. It might as well be just me sitting. As an experiment, we should just have my father on a toilet for 22 minutes, just staring at a camera, because there's just nothing. And so here comes sports. And this is a stinky Chuck Sala torpedo. The power of pinstripes. How Gerrit Cole bought into becoming a Yankee.
It's important.
I also think I've seen that one when he first signed. We're rehashing these now, Chuck?
Yeah.
Here's another terrible one. MLB experts predict, is everyone sleeping on the reigning champion Nationals?
You know, if the season ended after 60 games last year, the Nationals would not have made the playoffs. How about that?
You know that last night they were talking about expanding the playoffs for this season to 16 teams at like 11 o'clock at night?
Buffalo's been playing minor league baseball since 1913.
Thank you. But how is their stadium?
0.4.
It's
like a major league stadium. They've wanted to be a major league city going all the way back to 1913, and they've come close a couple of times, but the stadium is major league-like. They are a very proud minor league city.
Thank you, Stugatz. Make fun of me. Oh, another one from Chuck Solitoro. It doesn't stop. NFL Nation 2020 NFL training camp preview. The return of the mega deal. Why Mookie Betts' monster contract is a win for other Major League Baseball stars. This is the trickling, grinding, sort of constipated sports that we welcome you back with. After 133 days of constipation, we have a little bit of leakage today.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. That's the weight. Here's your SportsCenter update. Mookie Betts and the Dodgers have agreed on a 12-year, $365 million extension combined with the one-year, $27 million contract he's currently playing out. Betts' total comes to 13 years, $392 million. My goodness. Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association are discussing expanding the 2020 playoffs from 10 teams to 16. And finally, Dave Franco will star in the Vanilla Ice biopic To the Extreme. I actually want to see that. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You don't feel like you've had enough of Vanilla Ice?
I don't know. I'd like to see that. I think that I've had enough, but I think that could be a good movie and something that I'm interested in. Like, he's an interesting person.
With the casting of Dave Franco, it could be a serious look at him, but it kind of sounds like just off the surface, that would be an irreverent look at Vanilla Ice, which I think is the only way to look at Vanilla Ice.
I mean, he
Ice.
Was a total fraud, and he came up and got strength in the rap game on a story that was totally fraudulent. And then, Suge Knight allegedly held him over a balcony. He stole a riff, to make a song famous. And then he went into home repair here locally.
One of the great Behind the Music episodes. Yeah. Look, you're playing the hits from that episode. Bring back Behind the Music.
But I feel like I've had enough of Vanilla Ice. I don't need any more unless you're telling me it's a comedy, in which case that might be pretty good. That might change my mind on the subject. There were a couple of things that I wanted to get into with you guys about the return of sports. Baseball with fake fans doesn't look terrible. They have figured out how to make it look okay with some of the graphics I have seen that Fox is playing with, where they are debuting on Saturday something that looks pretty realistic. I had been imagining, for some reason, and this was dumb of me, I had been imagining that the televised product would just be some sort of bare bones thing that would make everything feel like AAU basketball or spring training baseball, that it would all feel small. But the sports leagues do have an actual chance here to play with some television graphics and things that they have not played with before. And this might actually be something that is a learning experience, because the sports broadcast changes so little that when we get like a yellow line in football, it's something hugely groundbreaking when all of a sudden we have a first down marker somewhere on the field. I think they can play with some things here, given I think this might be more of a real slash virtual product than you're used to getting with your sporting event.
The production quality on the NBA's exhibition games with that video wall behind it looks like it's made for TV, because it's in a TV studio. Very smart. Granted, that sport is far more conducive than some of the other sports. Curious to see what the NFL does. But I watch a couple of baseball summer camp games, and they did like the additional sound, and I was a little thrown by it, because I'm like, baseball never sounds like this unless it's the postseason. That's far too much crowd noise. I'm actually kind of used to seeing nobody in the stands at baseball games. If I'm turning on an A's game in the middle of a three-game series against the Astros, there's several camera angles that I don't see people sitting in the stands. All the sight lines are the same. I like the crack of the bat. I don't think baseball is really going to suffer all that much as a television product, Dan.
So the people on Zoom here, you should have heard them talking amongst themselves during the break, because it was a special kind of pathetic. Chris and Tony, this is not the pathetic part. Roy, you should stop laughing, because you were at the height of the pathetic here. So Chris and Tony were very excited. They were exuberant about the fact that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, had tickled them on Twitter. And so we'll get to that part of the story in a second. But Roy, with a bored and casual face, says he's responded to me before. And then Stugatz pulls out the trump card of, I was on stage with him at the Masvidal weigh-in, met him, took pictures with him. Not bragging is what he threw in at the end. It was just a hashtag just saying situation for you guys in the event that you didn't feel pathetic enough. If Roy didn't make you feel pathetic enough, then Stugatz got even, he's got the trump card on being close to the fame of Dwayne Johnson.
I actually did get to talk to Dwayne Johnson, by the way.
Oh, he's up
on the phone, getting him on the guest line.
All right. Talked to Dwayne Johnson. But what is the pathetic story that that Tony and Chris have here?
So, Dan, yesterday, the Cubs, which we're still trying to investigate if the Cubs get the show, they tweeted out a video of Anthony Rizzo hitting a home run with the caption, Tony, you good. So in that case, I went up and I quoted and put, "I'm good." Lebatard read it, "Are you good?" And then that started a big thread with a bunch of people tagging. Chris tagged Oprah to see if she was good. Of course, she didn't answer. Mike Golick Jr. tagged The Rock, and The Rock answered. Funny story throughout this from my perspective is I'm eating a pulled pork sandwich last night, barbecue all over my face, all over my hands, as usual. And I see a notification come across my screen saying Dwayne Johnson. And I think it's some trickster who has Dwayne Johnson as his name, but not really him. All of a sudden, 2 minutes later, I get a text from Chris Cody with Dwayne Johnson's Twitter feed. And again, the night was ablaze with us last night on Twitter. It was incredible.
The night was ablaze. It was an incredible pandemic night. Dwayne Johnson asked if you were good. I didn't think it could get more pathetic. But then when it had pulled pork on its face, it got more pathetic.
Now, not to make this all about me, but the way this was going was just fans of the show, people involved with the show were being asked. It's the way it always happens on Twitter. But I decided to go crazy with it. I'm going to see if Oprah's good. And that just changed the game a little bit. And Mike Golick Jr., who I texted with privately, and he admitted that me doing that to Oprah inspired him to aim high and ask The Rock if he was good.
Billy,
so if I don't go Oprah, I don't know if we get the blaze.
You deserve all of the credit for Dwayne Johnson asking you on social media if you were good. Again, this continues to get more and more pathetic. Billy, why were you making sour faces throughout what Chris was saying?
I mean, he did this. It was Mike Golick Jr. that did it to The Rock. By the way, what do you guys think it costs for The Rock to eat every day? Have you seen like his meals? What do you think his food budget is? Because I know that you make fun of the fact that he does all these movies the same as like Kevin Hart, but you have to think with the size meals that The Rock's eating and the portions, he has to constantly be making movies, right? It has to cost The Rock a week, probably close to $5,000 just to feed himself. Wouldn't you think?
Never thought about it.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Does it cost The Rock $5,000 just to feed himself? He does have on his cheat day like 9 pizzas or something ridiculous.
And everything,
that's what I'm saying.
Everything is infused with his own brand of tequila. Stuff that doesn't even make sense to put tequila in. Why are you putting tequila on your steak?
Jeff Passan in about 90 seconds. Mookie Betts is from Tennessee, which is not the West Coast. How much is Albert Pujols by contract making this year from the Angels?
$29 million.
And next year?
$30 million. Wait, Mookie Betts is from Tennessee?
Yes, not the West Coast.
Jeff Passan going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN+, Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Fritz Pollard Alliance will formally request that the league investigate whether the Washington franchise adhered to the latest iteration of the Rooney Rule in its hiring of Terry Bateman as executive VP and CMO and Julie Donaldson as senior VP of media. Nuggets big man Bol Bol made his NBA debut, a special one Wednesday night. 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 blocks in an 89-82 win over the Washington Wizards in a scrimmage. And finally, Taylor Swift announced that she will be releasing her 8th studio album, Folklore, at midnight tonight.
Did you realize that Jokic played point guard in that game? Like, he looks like Porzingis.
Get out of here.
He looks like Porzingis now. He's so skinny. And he doesn't look like a loaf of bread anymore. He's the point guard. That sport in 20 years is going to be 8-foot point guards.
I mean, if he's your point guard with Bol Bol in the middle, I mean, 16-10-6.
It felt like Snyder was just, it's Malone over there. It felt like he was just trying something new. because how can you can't possibly trot out that lineup come playoff time, Jokic at the one.
For all the latest headlines and information, tune in the Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, so Jeff Passan's been on the story and on these numbers, as he always is. Thank you for joining us, Jeff. Can you explain to me, please, in ways that are easy to understand, how mad Boston Red Sox fans should or shouldn't be at management, given that Mookie Betts just got money that wasn't that much more than what Boston was offering?
Two different things here. Number one, I think that they should be mad at the spending practices in the past. If you go and look at some of the guys that they have signed, whether it was Pablo Sandoval for $95 million, Hanley Ramirez for $88 million, Ruzne Castillo for $72 million, just, you know, bust after bust after bust, and the fact that that money could and should have gone to retaining Mookie Betts. When you have a player of his ilk who is elite, who is on a Hall of Fame path, and who is homegrown, you got to do everything you can to keep him around. And John Lester was not the caliber player that Mookie Betts is, but he was a really, really good homegrown player who they lowballed in their contract offers and ended up losing into the, you know, eventually to via trade, and then he went to the Chicago Cubs instead of going back to Boston. You know, Mookie Betts, within 6 months of being traded to the Dodgers, has a contract extension. So Red Sox fans have every right in the world to be angry that he is not going to be in that uniform for the rest of his career.
Wah. Oh, the poor Boston Red Sox fans have to deal with the grim realities of baseball that oftentimes you lose your best player. I'm so sad for them.
Can you explain to me, Jeff, can you explain how it is the Boston Red Sox management with a straight face can tell its fan base, we couldn't afford this?
I actually want to listen to more of that. Was that Mike?
Yes.
Oh, no. We lost Mookie Betts. What are we going to do except raid another team's roster and steal their best player? Why?
Mike, what does your face look like right now?
Like a little baby crying because I'm from Boston. Oh, no.
I got
gifted Josh Magan in a World Series MVP because another team couldn't afford its players, and now I can't afford Mookie Betts.
I think it was Mike Lowell that got the World Series MVP. He is also like, he's got his fists on his eyes, and he is pantomiming like he is wringing his eyes while weeping. I understand that he doesn't want to hear it because the Marlins have done this a couple of different
Everybody
times.
Does this, Dan. It's the reality for every baseball fan. Welcome to the fold, Boston.
Dan, he also doesn't want to hear it. They've won four World Series since 2004.
Okay, but what I thought, though, Jeff, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Boston, the Yankees, and the Dodgers are not subject to payroll hurting.
Yeah, they never, and they shouldn't be. And that's been the issue with this the whole time, why Red Sox fans are salty about it. Let me just go back to this. Mike, I don't want you to – actually, I do want you to answer this in your baby voice because it's really good. If you have a guy who's that good, how often do you see him – leave a franchise like the Red Sox or like the Yankees or like the Dodgers? Those guys, when they're homegrown and you have money, you don't lose guys like that. You re-sign them. That's what big, powerful, moneyed franchises are supposed to do.
I know. It's our birthright, Jeff Passan. We're supposed to keep our best players. Now what are we going to do? Steal another team's best player? The only thing that will make me happy is hearing from Elmo.
Mike, you sound really sad. We need to make you feel better.
Who's the next great young player I can poach from one of the teams that can't afford their stars to replace him?
Stay in character, Passan. Passan, stay in character.
Man.
I can't do this anymore. I'm so good.
What are we going to do? Steal a Manny Ramirez type from another franchise that had him as a homegrown talent? I'm so sad. Or maybe we can poach David Ortiz from the Twins because they can't afford players.
Franchise just got me.
That's it. You lose, Passan. You're going to stay in character. We wanted the segment to end with crybabies talking to Elmo the rest of the way. And you ruined it because you couldn't. Are you not talking about this stuff?
What am I to do with the fact that in this great run over the last two decades, most of my great players have been poached from other teams, and then all of a sudden it happens to me? Why?
Into an old lady in there, too.
Is it the L's and the R's that turn into
Yeah, well, it's an Elmer Fudd thing. He's got, it's, well, the key there is franchise.
I'm a Boston baby.
You gotta be real, though. This is ridiculous coming from that franchise. They take everybody. They're in the mix for every star. Okay, you lost Mookie Betts. He's a great player, an exciting player. I understand it. You'll just get the next one. This isn't some sad new reality for the Boston Red Sox. They'll reload in a couple of years. They'll be breaking hearts across Major League Baseball because they're stealing players.
Well, it feels good. It feels good to have a conversation about sports that's just yelling and screaming about money. Sports are back, baby. We can yell and scream about contracts and money. Passan, what are you excited about coming up here in this 60-game sprint? Baseball's about to mutate its entire sport over the next 60 games.
I'm excited to see what this super weird reality is going to play out like. And I was at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City earlier this week. And I saw the Astros playing the Royals, and it is so eerie inside of these ballparks. And I'm curious. I'm in D.C. right now. I'm curious to see if the Nats and Yankees tonight, the same thing is the case. It's just weird. It feels weird. The piped-in noise is weird. The fact that you can hear guys talking on the field is weird. The whole operation is weird, and I'm curious to see if the players ever get used to this, because it's not something that you necessarily want to get used to. We're living in this new reality, and it's dystopian in a lot of ways, and the fact that they're continuing to play baseball throughout it, it's a very square peg round hole situation, and the guys who are able to adjust to this, I think, are going to be the ones who are the most successful this year, because there are going to be a number of guys who say, I just cannot I can't get ready for a game like this. I can't get excited for a game like this because it's so different than what I'm used to.
Passan, good talking to you. Thank you for making the time. Next time, you got to stay in character. Get it right.
It felt like too much. Like, Mike was on such a roll there, I didn't want to ruin it. Hats off, man. Please, bring that guy back. Next time I'm on, we will have a great conversation with the baby and Elmo.
You know what would make me feel better? If Elmo could tell me who's going to win the World Series.
I think it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, but it's definitely not the Red Sox.
Yes, not the Red Sox. Thank you, Elmo. Good talking to you, sir.
See you, boys.
See ya. Sue Bird, going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer has agreed to terms on a multi-year contract extension. Nuggets big man Bol Bol made his NBA debut, a special one Wednesday. 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 blocks in an 89-82 win over the Washington Wizards in a scrimmage. And finally, 24 wild rabbits were released in Australia 150 years ago for hunting. The rabbit population swelled to 10 billion within about 50 years. Well, that 24 wild rabbits turned into 10 billion. for all the latest headlines and information, tune in the Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
She's an 11-time All-Star, 4-time gold medalist, 2-time NCAA champion, 3-time WNBA champion. Sue Bird with us on ESPN Radio.
She's a top 5 WNBA player of all time. She's in my starting 5.
All right, let's do this then with her. Sue Bird, let's just start right there. Thank you for joining us. The 5th best player in WNBA history, according to Sue Bird, is blank. And I'm going to make you go all the way down to 1.
Oh, God. So start at 5 and go backwards?
Yes. In fact, let's get the fanfare for her to help her out here. Give her a second to think so that she can filibuster. We love our lists around here, our sports lists.
I'll also say this. She is the best bird to ever play basketball. How about that?
Wow. a shocking claim. Number 5, Sue Bird. Best 5th best WNBA player ever.
Tina Thompson.
Number 4, I like the conviction. By the way, I need to preface this for her by saying she does not mean to exclude anybody. She apologizes in advance if she forgets anybody. She is not meaning to offend anyone. We badgered her into this. Number 4, Sue Bird.
Cheryl Swoops.
Friend of the show.
Number 3, Sue Bird.
Lisa Leslie.
That's where I had her.
Number 2.
Lauren Jackson.
So this is interesting. She won't select herself, right, because she's going to be humble publicly?
But how about that, LJ? Number 2.
Probably.
Number 1. Probably. The best.
I'm sixth.
Oh,
no.
Man,
no. And the best WNBA player of all time is?
Diana Taurasi, hands down.
Do we know why the hands go down?
I'm on it.
Yeah, you know, I'm biased.
Might be parliament.
College teammate, Olympic teammate, best friend. You know how it is.
Sue Bird with us on ESPN Radio. How mad did you get when you saw everything that was happening with Elena Delladone?
I mean, it's frustrating. You know, I think because as a player, your health is everything. And I know for her, she has to do so much just to be on the court. So to have someone else kind of dictate that, I think is just beyond frustrating. As players, I think we all have our back. These are bizarre times. I mean, I keep saying it's like there's no playbook for this. So we're all just trying to navigate it. But I know she, if she could be here, she would. And that's that.
Over the course of the last 3 or 4 months, we've had the opportunity a couple of different times to talk to Maya Moore. I'm curious, as you know, someone who is an activist, as someone who cares about others, and as someone who values playing basketball, you're struck how by what it is that she decided to do in, you know, what can be considered the prime of her career.
Right. I mean, the selflessness there is unbelievable. To essentially put all that she worked for her whole life to the side for someone else. I mean, anytime you do something that big for other people, I think it really speaks to who you are as a person. And that's no easy decision. You know, I think now people can look at it and applaud it because of where our country is. But even a year ago, I think people questioned what she was doing. And that was I know it wasn't an easy decision for her. So I'm just so proud of her. It's incredible to think about that, to put everything you worked for to the side. I can't say enough. It's unbelievable. Truly, truly. And she was ahead of the game. You know what I mean? Like, now it kind of feels like an easy choice. I wouldn't be surprised if Maya never plays again. Maybe she does. But, you know, to do that is incredible.
How hard is it to let go? Because I know you get asked every year, is this going to be the end of it? Can you explain to us the difficulties in letting go this part of your identity? And then, you know, headed into, you know, grieving the identity that you used to be, because retirement is a real hard thing for people who are as excellent as you at what they do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't know we were getting so deep. I appreciate that. That is the hard part, you know, for me personally, to think about that, because you are kind of wrapped up in who you are as a basketball player. It's what you've been your entire life in a lot of ways. This athlete, it's how people see you. It's how you see yourself. It's kind of, you know, it's I don't know. It's just where it all kind of lies. I think for me personally, what I've tried to do the last couple years, when I stopped playing overseas, was try to find other things in my life that I could be passionate about, other ways to kind of feel fulfilled that had nothing to do with basketball. So when the time does come, you know, I'll be a little more ready, but there's still going to be a mourning process. And I think for me now, as long as my body feels okay, I'm going to stick with it. Once that starts to hurt on like a day-to-day basis, I think it'll be easier to walk away. But again, actually tying it back to Maya Moore, I mean, that's the other part that's so crazy about, not crazy like cuckoo, but like hard to really imagine, just to straight up walk away from that life, from that identity. Again, you couldn't have been an easy decision for her.
Sue Bird with us here on ESPN Radio. We'll get to what she's doing with Gatorade in just a minute here. When and why, Sue, did your passion for soccer, when did this happen? Because you wanted to play soccer, so I'm wondering, when and why did you shift that passion from soccer to basketball?
Yeah, you know, it's I transferred high schools when I was a sophomore. So I'm from Long Island. I'm from Syosset, New York. And, you know, I played soccer, played basketball, did everything growing up. And then I switched schools to Christ the King. And this is really, I mean, listen, I knew when I transferred what I was getting into, but the truth of it is they didn't have a girls soccer team. So it just kind of made the decision for me at that point. I was like, all right, I guess basketball's it.
Who's had a better sports career, Sue Bird or Megan Rapinoe?
Oh, I joke that her one gold medal is really cute.
Well, I'm curious how competitive you guys are. Like, there must be some unreasonable fights over like board games or something, right? Because you both have to be, to get to where you are, you have to be unreasonably competitive.
You know, like, I'm really not just saying this, we're actually not with each other. She's really not. She just kind of, she does it on the field, and then when she's off, she's like lovable and like just wants to have a good time and kick it. I'm way more competitive when I step off the court, but she doesn't really mess with me in that way. So we don't really get into it too much.
Does she not mess with you that way because she's just like that? Or does she know not to mess with you that way because you're unreasonable there?
I think because I'm unreasonable, she's doing it for the greater good.
Okay, so who will you get unreasonably competitive with in a way that embarrasses you and makes you throw the board game across the room?
You know, I'll take it back to my number one WNBA player. I think Dee and I get like ridiculous. We will compete whether it's like something like you normally compete at. Like, I remember when we played in Russia. Russians like love bowling. There's a lot of bowling alleys everywhere. So we would when we would bowl, it would get nasty. But even if we have a conversation about, like, I don't know, who's a better basketball player, we'll just argue the other side. Whatever D picks, I am taking the other side just to argue. So that's probably the person I go the hardest at.
Sue Bird with us here on ESPN Radio. All right, tell us what you're doing with Gatorade, Sue. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, we have a big announcement tomorrow. It's the Gatorade Athlete of the Year, a really prestigious high school award. So excited to be a part of that. You know, when you look at the names of the people who have won, both male, female, it's not just one sport. It's across all sports. You got, you know, these are going to be basketball players, but LeBron James has won, Candace Parker. But then you have like Allyson Felix, Kyler Murray. So it's a pretty amazing award, one that I did not win. So I can look back on that and have a lot of regret, but I'm very excited to be a part of this, and we'll be announcing it tomorrow. So looking forward to that.
Sue, thank you for being on with us. Was the ESPYs, doing the ESPYs, was it nerve-wracking? Was it a top five nerve-wracking or not really? It was okay.
It was okay because we were at home. It was all taped. I could see you doing that live being like, that would be next level nerve-wracking, but we could tape it. We could do takes. So we were lucky in that way. So it wasn't too bad.
Thank you for being on with us, Sue. We appreciate it.
It's racking. That's a fun.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Sue.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
At Levitard Show on Twitter, nerve-wracking or nerve-wracking? Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
She responded by saying racking. I mean,
I know.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NFL confirmed Wednesday that it will be mandatory for fans to wear masks if they want to attend games. Free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown, 2 days following teasing retirement, wrote an Instagram post last night in which he indicated that he wants to play in the NFL again and urged the league to resolve its investigation into his conduct. The Seahawks expressed interest a couple of days ago. Wasn't that a report?
He just worked out with Russell Wilson. I don't know whether there was a report.
There was a report that they were interested, and then he came out and said he's retiring, and now he's coming back and saying, well, I'm interested again, probably because they're interested. I don't know. Getting tired of the story. And finally, an NFL water boy. An NFL water boy makes an average salary. Dan, what do you think here? Water boy.
An NFL water boy makes an average salary, like annual salary or just per game? Don't they get paid by game?
Average salary. Annual.
Annual average salary, I'm going to say $2,000.
You're good at this game. $53,000 a year.
They're still called water boys?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd imagine by now it'd be called like hydration specialist or something like that.
That can't be the only job, though. There has to be water boy plus that, like, he's doing a million different, he or she is doing a million things around the facility.
For $53,000, it should be hydration specialist. You're right. Whether you're taking on your favorite. This is not written correctly.
For $53,000, he should be ionizing his own water.
By the way, this is not written. I'm not going to blame anyone, but it's you're right. He should be doing that for $53,000. This is not written correctly. Whether you're taking in your favorite lookout or lawn chair, sitting on your porch or in the park, Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time. Enjoy a creamy, crunchy, sweet and salty bar wherever you are. No. I fixed it. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. I'm sorry for yelling at you, Michael.
So Mike Ryan reminded me here during the break that opening day brings back memories from Derek Jeter's first game as the president of the Marlins. Guillermo Gil, we sent him out because he is such a big fan of the Marlins. Yesterday, if you were listening to the show, you heard, and this isn't that easy, I don't think, you heard a six-year-old Guillermo Gil remember everybody who was in the starting lineup for the Florida Marlins in 1993.
Well, I was 33 yesterday, not six.
I always look at you and see a six-year-old, and I was surprised that you could go that far back into the memory because I can't find anything from when I was 6 years old. Can you find anything that's sports-related, Stugatz, that from 6 years old? Because I thought his recall was fairly extraordinary. I couldn't, like, I was reading Bill James abstracts at an early age, but I can't give you a lineup that early in my life that I remember.
6 years old, 1978. I can't give you much. You're right.
Oh, I can remember plenty. Like when Bret Hart took on Yokozuna, but then the salt got in Bret Hart's eyes. And then, speaking of eye injuries, Hulk Hogan comes out of nowhere. And then he becomes WWF champion at a time that I thought we were transitioning to younger stars. All in all, it blew up in everybody's face. And Hulk was on his way to WCW shortly thereafter, Dan.
Mike's the wrong person to ask, because if you remember, he remembered Fauci from when he was six also. So
that's right.
Yes, that's right. Mike Ryan just has amazing recall.
First pitch for Fauci tonight, huh? How about that? You think he's going to stand on the bump or nah?
It's a legacy pitch today, guys. His legacy's on the line, because if he bounces that ball, it's not going to look good for Fauci. Do you guys believe that he's 78?
I was going to say,
great.
Isn't he a frail old man? Like, I think that it's hard to think. A 70-year-old, wait a minute, a 78-year-old is not going to the bump and throwing it 60 feet 6 inches. That's not happening.
Why did Jamie Moyer did that for 10 years?
All of the Negroes.
Own the Marlins. Owned them. 78 years old. Dominated.
This is one of the most important first pitches in the history of baseball, we'd agree with, right?
Yeah. Definitely. There's a lot riding on this. Me and Billy think that what's riding on this, We think right now Dr. Fauci is the Time Magazine Person of the Year, okay? But if he throws one that hops to the catcher tonight, he will not win the award. Okay. If he puts a dart right in the middle there, then he will solidify himself as the Times Person of the Year.
All right, there's a lot riding on it. Guillermo, put this on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Do you expect the 78-year-old to throw a strike from 60 feet 6 inches? And furthermore, should Dr. Fauci lose any prizes he might win this year for his work in science if he bounces this first pitch tonight? At Lebatard Show on Twitter is where you vote on the poll.
After Fauci throws the pitch, do you guys have him sanitizing before or after he gets past the foul line?
Wow. He has to wear a glove.
Yeah.
So he has to wear a glove. This is going to be interesting. Does he have to make a show of putting hand sanitizer on before and after he throws the baseball?
I think he does. Does he wear a mask out there? He'll wear a mask.
He's got to wear a mask. He's not going to shake hands with the catcher or anything, right? This is, we're in a weird position where all of this is dangerous for Fauci. Like, you know, people his age bracket, that's, you know, not going out a whole lot, not going to crowd settings and stuff. So,
he goes on a jog every day.
He can go on
a picture of health, Dan.
There's no crowd, right?
Comes with the job.
Well, there are going to be a lot of people.
I guess you're right. Right, but they've been tested, all those people.
I don't feel like he should even be going to the ballpark.
It was a bizarre setup for the sound from a couple of years ago.
Well, this is the thing. Well, Billy wants it. Billy, we found another one of these Billy wheelhouses that we can't get out of because he's super eager to talk all of a sudden.
Well, no, because Stu, I was just telling us that you could bet somewhere on whether or not Fauci's going to be wearing a mask, and it was like 1,000,000 to 1. So Fauci wants to retire like tomorrow. Just put down like $10 and don't wear a mask and you're set for life, right?
How do you play?
You're going to lose that Time Man of the Year, though, if anybody finds out about that.
Okay, Dan, would you be Time Man of the Year or $10 million if you're given the option? Which would you take?
Yeah, I would take $10 million.
Do you think being able to call yourself Time Man of the Year for the rest of your life has a value of $10 million? I imagine you can make speaking engagements for the rest of your life.
Again, though, he would be disgraced Time Man of the Year, disgraced Time Man of the Year because he had made this, this enormous.
That's a lot on the line tonight.
He made this enormous bet. Okay, so hold on. What do we have here? Yes or no? All prop bets here only. Okay, all prop bets. Yes or no? Who should be the favorite on will have hand sanitizer at some point? We will see Fauci with hand sanitizer.
Such a great platform because he hasn't been in front of the cameras all that much lately. It's a great platform for him to set a great example. I'd make this plus 150.
Plus 150. I think I'm with Mike. We have to set an over-under amount of times he uses the sanitizer.
Sanitizer
is even better.
Yes.
I would also, does he shake anyone's hand? No, right?
No, elbow bump, though. Elbow bump is a strong minus 180 favorite.
No.
I'm seeing 9-1 odds that he comes out in a full hazmat suit.
Wow.
No, come on.
It's going to affect the range of motion.
Come on. You're making that up. Where are you seeing this? Who is giving this a full hazmat suit? You got the old guy going out there like an astronaut, and he's gonna try and throw it 60 feet 6 inches. That's what you got the 78-year-old doing.
This is an ESPN game, right? So, like, we're going to have this. I think this is going to set ratings records. People just tuning in to see how Fauci does. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the major news networks cut in to see how Fauci does on the first pitch live and whatever it is that they're covering that day. What I'm hoping for, which is probably very unlikely, is that Fauci, who's like a lifelong, well, I guess not lifelong because the Nationals have existed for like 10 years, but he's like a big Nationals fan. If he just shows up to the mound knowing that the eyes of the world are on him and he just has like on a t-shirt, like follow my SoundCloud at a Fauci, you know, 6969 or something.
Quite the buildup for a game that might be postponed depending on the weather.
I just can't get around the fact that on Highly Questionable, we've been airing for about a decade, somebody throwing out a first pitch at Fenway Park who was over 100 years old.
who was being held up by the diaper. And like, this is a video that we have shown for many, many years. This person was over 100 years old and somebody was behind him holding him by his diaper. He had a walker and he was nowhere near 60 feet, 6 inches away. And what I'm telling you is that a 78-year-old man can't be expected to get it up there without a bounce. I don't think you can expect that. You guys, what would be the odds on that if we were betting that? Is he going to bounce it? Yes or no?
I don't think he's going from the actual mound. He might do it from the base of the mound.
Right, flat ground. But from the mound, I feel like it would be, you're right, Dan, I feel like it would be heavy odds. It'd be like plus 450 or something like that.
I've got him doing the LeBron chalk toss, but with Purell.
Hold that thought. Wow. Let's sell some ads.
We'll get to the first pitch from last year that I meant to get to that got derailed because I have never seen Billy so excited. Like, it's just the strangest things pique his interest.
Me and Billy have been talking about this off air during breaks for a couple of days. So we were excited.
Legacy pitch, Dan. Yeah, legacy pitch.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Adam Schefter reports that the NFL team that resides in the District of Columbia will refer to itself as the Washington Football Team, pending adoption of a new name. Okay.
Plain uniforms with numbers on the helmets replacing the old logo decal. They're going to be Washington FT for this season.
Is that because that Alexandria realtor that Stugatz thought was a realtor named Alexandria bought up all of the copyrights to all of the possible names, so there's nothing available
for
them?
Might have been duped by the internet, but I thought I saw that that person that owns all the copyrights was willing to cede any of those copyrights to the team if they settled on any of that. It's very difficult to do a full-on rebrand with such little lead time.
Seattle's NHL team, they're getting a hockey team?
Yeah, named.
Wow. Which will make its debut in the 2021-22 season, has announced that its nickname will be the Kraken. Their color scheme will be icy blue and navy blue with sharp red accents. The Kraken. That's pretty good, man. And finally, is there anything wrong with that, by the way? The Kraken? Like 5 years from now, they're going to regret that. We're good. I mean,
I don't think this
does the Kraken have anything in its past that is questionable?
I mean, well, tons of murder of shipmen, but.
But that's okay, right? As long as it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Aunt Jemima
I'm
related.
I'm guessing in this day and age, they probably did their research,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's offensive and indelicate for sailors. And
the Kraken just killed. Wasn't a slave owner or anything, right?
I mean, it's a horrible sea monster, but it's also mythical, we think.
All right. And finally, there are different rules for playing basketball in North Korea. Slam dunks are 3 points. Nothing but net shots are 4 points. And teams lose points when they miss free throws. I love that. I mean, slam dunk, three-pointer. How about that? These days, it's good to be prepared. That includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. And also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I think this show is a little bit of a petri dish for sports fans in that you will find your opinion somewhere amongst us. One of the personalities around here talking into a microphone will give voice to something that you think. And the one place over the years where no matter what's happening with us generationally, where we connect as a show weirdly, is 1990s baseball. And it's because Billy and Chris and Tony were in their formative years loving sports, and they remember those teams, you know, on television during a golden age of childhood. And so they know all about Ken Caminiti for some reason, in ways that are unreasonable. Roy was a teenager at the time, and we got Major League Baseball in South Florida, and he became an enormous Marlins fan because we had never been Major League before. That's some of what Mike got, too, in sort of middle age. And then Stugatz and I are just old fogies who remember the time when baseball was very much America's most popular sport. Football was just coming to get it, but baseball was America's most popular sports. And weirdly, the baseball writers love talking about the poetry of the sport in a way that felt mythical, felt sanctified, like spring training became a change of seasons. And baseball hasn't been that in a long time. It's become a regional sport. Some of us have lost interest in the sport over time in a way that we never thought we would. But what today represents weirdly, weirdly, is hope.
Yes.
That something feel bleeping normal in a world turned upside down. Like those baseball poets were always writing about opening day and hope, and everyone's 0-0, and it all sounded like a bunch of syrup. It sounded like a bunch of garbage overwritten by George Will and Mike Lupica, and the Yankees are going to Fort Lauderdale for the spring.
But considering 133 days, I believe it is, without hockey, football, baseball, or basketball, everything that's happening around the world, pandemics, race relations, all that stuff, and a 60-game season where it feels like your team actually has a shot. Yeah, today's a good day. It feels like hope. You're right.
It's weird, though, to say, though, because I would have laughed throughout the 90s at all those poetries, all those poems that we found about freshly cut grass and what baseball meant with its return. And it hasn't meant that in this country in a long, long time. But it did. It was a thing. And tonight, I wonder if it will, because Billy seems excited as hell, and it's not just for Fauci throwing the first pitch. It's because opening day to you, you've got to be the weirdest of the mid-30s people in that opening day is a national holiday to you. You take off work usually every year on opening day.
Ah, Dan, thank you for pooping on my passion. Yes. Oh, legacy pitch tonight, Dan. The smell of the grass, the crack of the bat. We're not going to get any of that because we're going to be home, but oh. Why not us? Am I right? Why not us? All of us. Why not us? Hey, guy, why not us? And you know what, Dan? We may have expanded playoffs. We still don't know what's going on with that. They were talking about it last night. I'm assuming they need to know that before the first pitch tonight, right? Imagine if 18 teams just make the playoffs or 16 teams or whatever. Who knows? Changing the rules right before the game.
I love
why
that.
Why not us?
On the fly. I hope baseball learns something here, because why not us feels good. I'm telling you, even Marlin fans in a 60-game season are saying to themselves, well, why not us?
Well, check back with me in a week, and we'll see what my tune is then. But for now, I'm happy.
Billy and I trick ourselves on opening day when it's a normal season.
Right.
So just imagine, like, right now, we're on July 1st of a normal season, and we're still in contention, tied for first place. Let's go, baby. Why not us? Why not
yeah,
us?
You guys were,
why not us? Why not us?
Hard to chant on Zoom.
Yes,
us.
It really is. Thank you guys for putting that together with so much effort.
Do you think baseball senses that, though? That's why I'm so excited for this. They might have stumbled into a way to make their regular season and all their games feel more meaningful.
Yes, I didn't realize that you were going to double down on this, but yes, Stugatz, I do believe you.
I love it.
You should say we should have more pandemics. Like we should do this.
I am not
we should
that.
Do this every year where we have a pandemic and just do 60 game seasons with no fans. Like, I think that's what you should definitely argue.
That's not what I'm arguing or clamoring for. What I am clamoring for is that baseball hopefully learns a lesson and doesn't go back to 162 games next year, because this feels better. This feels like hope. That's what I'm hoping for.
Also, basketball starts in a week, and then we're just going to forget about baseball.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's funny that you're in on this plan, but call into question the integrity of the NBA champion.
Well, I'm keeping my eye on the bubble. That's all I'm saying. I have to see how it plays out. I'm keeping my eye on the bubble. But, Mike, if you look in years past, most teams through 60 games are teams that – now, last year it did not play out. Through 60 games, the Nationals would not have been a playoff team. They ended up winning the World Series. Most years through 60 games, the teams that are in first place through 60 games are teams that end up making the playoffs through 162.
You don't have to tell me twice. In fact, on the local hour, we concentrate a little bit on this with David Sampson. I'm in on baseball. I'm not going to be negative when it comes to this. They can really hook me here before the NBA starts. I got a fantasy team. I want to learn the sport. This is really catered to me, a more casual observer of what's going on in baseball. It's a sprint to the finish. I like that it's a wacky champion.
What happened with your fantasy league? Because I didn't understand. You got involved, and then next thing you know, you're doing 2 days of drafting.
Well, I should. I'm going to reveal this. John Isner is the commissioner of my fantasy baseball league. Yeah. Sugatz was supposed to be in it, but he took too long to get in, which is kind of weird because patience is kind of John Isner's game.
Right.
But Sugatz got booted, and I'm not going to co-own a team with Sugatz.
I mean, I offered to pay for the entire team, and Isner, you're right. I mean, when Isner is the commissioner of your fantasy baseball draft, that baseball draft's going to take 2 to 5 days.
Do you guys feel any need to tell people who Isner is? Should they just know who Isner is?
You should know who Isner is. All day Isner.
Okay, because I think the people who do know are finding it funny, all of it, because it's a funny name and it's funny that you're in his fantasy league. But I think it would be funnier to the people who we've left out to point out that John Isner is that tree that plays tennis and serves 7,000 miles an hour. And all his games are just him serving and then someone serving at him. And they all go way, crazy tiebreakers.
They should skip the games where someone's serving at him.
It's the best kind of tennis because
they had to change the rules because John Isner once played a match for 3 days.
Look, John Isner's way of playing tennis is much better than Federer's way or any of them.
John Isner approaches tennis the way that baseball players now approach discipline.
I am going to rocket a serve that is going to dent your forehead. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. And then when you serve at me, I'm just going to rest.
Sometimes, what I'm telling you, what Isner wants to do is bypass those games and just keep serving.
Absolutely so. It's absolutely so. Isner could have no forehand and no backhand and would be exactly the same tennis player.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
I wonder if Isner's ever got a match without hitting a ground stroke.
So we're going to open up the club now. We have a couple of polls that we're going to do at Le Batard Show in here. But is everyone off tomorrow or are some of us working? How is this working tomorrow as we've got to get in some vacation here before July ends?
I believe Chris, Billy, Tony, Roy working. Me, you, Mike are taking off. I'm not certain who's filling in.
Peter Burns and Katie George.
Our audience has enjoyed them. Peter Burns and Katie George. Our audience is very critical when we are not here, but they seem to have enjoyed those two together.
At Le Batard Show on Twitter, what do you have there, Stugatz, before we open up the club?
The Twitter poll is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time, as Dan just said, at Le Batard Show on Twitter. How much does it cost The Rock each week to feed himself? Over $5,000 or under $5,000? 69% of the audience said over $5,000.
Sweet.
Is it nerve-wracking or nerve-wrecking? This is a big one. Dan, I have a feeling you know the answer. You tried to stay entrenched even while the answer was being thrown back right in your face by Sue Bird. 91% of the audience said nerve-wracking. You were wrong. Senior division in boxing, something we sorely need or extremely sad? 73% of the audience is wrong. They said extremely sad. Do you expect the 78-year-old to throw a strike from 60 feet, 6 inches away tonight? Fauci. 63% of the audience said no.
Legacy pitch.
If Anthony Fauci, we should call him Dr. Fauci, it's disrespectful. But anyway, if Anthony bounces his first pitch tonight, should that impact his shot at winning awards?
What awards is he winning? He's been doing nothing. All he's been doing is warning us, and we've ignored him. And now we're starting sports again. Let's open up the club.
71% of the audience said yes. He's throwing out the first pitch, Dan. I mean,
we've ignored his warnings. He's not going to win any awards. We're number one at being the worst. He gave us all the advice and we ignored it. Told us how to do this and we simply ignored him.
He'd be throwing that thing in front of 60,000 tonight if we listened.
You shouldn't be telling people not to do sports and then go throw the first pitch, though, right?
First sound in the club.
Cashew chicken is amazing.
That's right. What else is in the club?
Mongolian beef would like a seat at this table.
What else is in the club?
Caretakers. Can you imagine working sad in a cemetery?
Job. Sad job.
I would love that job.
What?
That next to a garbage man.
It's an amazing sound clip. He wants to be a garbage man and a caretaker in a cemetery, Greg Cody. What else we got, Mike?
Number 10, Greg Cody.
All right, of course.
His microphone is muted.
Your microphone is muted, Greg.
What else is in the club?
Honey chicken is the best. Yes, it's a delicious club. Chicken.
Oh, my God. What else?
Squeaky gate. It's not a myth. Cemeteries have gates. Most of them squeak.
Who else is in the club?
Plant can't produce fruits. It can't produce flowers. Can't produce nectar, which feeds a buttload of other types of animals.
The load was... what else is in the club?
I'm just keeping my eye on it.
Well, it's my job. Yeah. It's my job to keep an eye on it.
Yep.
Good interview.
Yeah. Bubble. You get the testing that you have into your fans' hands. I'm serious.
What else is in the club?
I love Dick's, but the shoe store, Dan, as you know
Jesus
it.
Jesus phrasing.
I love Dick's. I do.